Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey everyone, I'm Sean.
And I'm Joe.
And we are the hosts of The Horror Show, the show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite cult classics and horror movies. We're talking about everything from Lori Loughlin dancing on a BMX bike in Rad, all the way over to 80s classics like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Join us every week as we pick another movie that we try desperately to find the good in while laughing our way through the bad.
And there's a lot of bad. Looking through his movies, he appears to just love frogs, because then we get Toad Warrior in 1996 and Max Hell Frog Warrior in 2002. So,
not a fan of horror? Don't worry about it. Almost every episode is filled with personal anecdotes and jokes about all things entertainment.
So join us every week on any of your favorite podcasting apps and services, or find us at IHateHorror.com or on Instagram at IHateHorror.
r/ is a hilarious podcast where Dabney Bailey uses ridiculous voices and emotions to read aloud the week's craziest Reddit posts.
He reenacts various Reddit threads covering wild stories and secrets, petty revenge, relationships, and much more.
So if you're looking for a daily distraction and a laugh, check out r/ wherever you get your podcasts.
I just appreciate Michael Bay.
I can't believe he's only 52.
Movies directed or years old?
Same. It's the same. Yeah. It's like the same number.
Do you think he's purposefully trying to match that at this point? Like, keep
wait,
that number
he's 52? 52 means he did Bad Boys when he was like 30 years old.
He's 54.
Fuck.
He's been cranking it out.
Cranking something.
I'm not cranking this.
What?
This is limp right here.
What? Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know what I mean. I have yet to laugh in this movie. I'll just tell you that.
You picked it, motherfucker. Just remember that.
You know what the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit.
So I was legitimately offended.
You were offended?
I was offended.
I didn't know you could get offended.
I was offended.
This did it.
If I were gay, I wouldn't be offended.
They're fucking making shit up, I mean!
Inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail.
Bees don't lie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm holding a mic in my hands and now I'm talking all alone.
Welcome to Cinephobe, the podcast where we break down the movies you're afraid to admit you love, especially you, Amin. I'm Zach Harper, joined by Amin Alhassan, Anthony Mace, with the ones and twos and all the button pushing and all that stuff. This week on Cinephobe, we watched the 2019 action comedy. I don't really know how you would describe this one. Six Underground, that stars Ryan Reynolds, who was just in Hobbs and Shaw, and he's coming off the Deadpool franchise. He's set to be in Free Guy and The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard in 2020. It also stars Melanie Laurent, who you may remember as Shoshana in Inglorious Bastards.
Ah, yes, that's right.
Yeah. We've also got Manuel Garcia Ruflo, who was in Sicario, Day of the Soldado, and The Magnificent Seven. Dave Franco's in this movie. He's been in Neighbors, the Now You See Me franchise.
Really? That's your Dave Franco? Like, this is a guy, like, Oscar nominated for something?
Is he? What did he get nominated for?
No, you're thinking of James Franco.
You're thinking of James.
No. He was in something, and I was like, "Oh shit!" Like, you're a real actor now.
There's no way he got nominated.
Oh, no. You know what? You know what? My apologies. I got him confused with Casey Affleck, which is the same. They're the same ferrety-looking brother of a more famous actor.
Right. I think Dave Franco's the one who hasn't abused women. I think that's the easy way to remember that.
Dave Franco's 21 Jump Street. That's
yes. He's also in that franchise. He's also married to Alison Brie. Did you know that?
I did know that because I went to a taping of At Midnight. You remember that show? Okay.
Yeah.
And Alison Brie was there, and I was like, "Damn!" And I was like, "Oh, maybe I could." No. And then I saw she had a ring on her finger. I was like, "Ah, shit!" And so I looked up. So I looked at, like, who's this loser she's married to? Maybe I could just, like, bogart my way on this marriage anyway. And I looked at him. I was like, "Oh, it's Dave Franco. Never mind. He made 21 Jump Street.
That was the one. That was the reason.
Can't compete with that, man."
Right. Okay. Well, this movie was directed by Michael Bay, as we mentioned in the cold open. He's directed Transformers The Last Knight in 2017. There's a movie called Robopocalypse that has been announced. We don't have a date on it. I'm guessing
it's Future Cinephobe.
Yeah, I'm guessing we can just lock that in for like 3 years from now.
2020 Future Cinephobe.
He's done Bad Boys 1 and Bad Boys 2, all the Transformers movies, Pain and Gain.
Are you telling me Bad Boys for Life is not going to be his?
No.
That's not him?
I believe he produced but didn't direct.
Wow, okay.
How does that make you feel? I mean, is that a positive or a negative thing?
I'm worried. I'm so worried.
That makes me even, like, if it's so bad that even he didn't want to direct it. Like, yeah.
Yeah, Pearl Harbor, Armageddon, and of course, Meatloaf's I Will Do Anything for Love music video.
Of course.
Oh. Yeah.
More on that later.
Yeah, more on that later. This was written by Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese. They've done the Deadpool movies. They've done Zombieland 1 really? And 2, the Joe Schmo Show. Yeah, they've done a bunch of stuff.
Hold on. Wait. You said they did Deadpool 1, Deadpool 2, Zombieland.
Yeah. 1 and 2.
Zombieland Double Tap, which I just saw on the plane a week ago.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's good. It was like, you know what it's like? It was good in the same way that The Hangover 2 was. Oh, it's a nice little movie. It's the same movie as The Hangover, but.
Right, I like Zombieland. Like, I'll watch it anytime it's on. If you give me another version of that, I'm in.
If you like Zombieland, you'll like Zombieland too. And the Joe Schmo Show, which again, I think we've talked about this before on the pod, but it bears mentioning again. One of the greatest television shows I've ever seen.
It was great.
It was tremendous. Did you ever see the second season Joe Schmo Show too?
No, I only saw the first.
They had two schmoes.
They had two schmoes?
They had two schmoes, and then one was a girl and one was a guy. And the girl figured it out.
Oh.
And so she walks into the producer's office and is like, yo, this is all fake. This isn't real. Like, you guys, da, da, da. And so they basically recruit her. And then she gets in on it, too.
Wow.
And so then there's just the one schmo who's getting schmoed.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was really well done. The second one was like, anyways, I can digress. But these are amazing writing credits for these guys, because these are all things that I've enjoyed. What went wrong here?
Yeah, that was my reaction after
Hold the fuck on. Who said anything went wrong? Who said anything went wrong?
A mean thing.
What?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. 6 underground synopsis on IMDb. Meet a new kind of action hero. 6 untraceable agents totally off the grid. They've buried their past so they can change the future.
A lot clearer than the movies.
The tagline is not good. They say no one can save the world. Meet no one. That's terrible. That's a terrible tagline. We're looking at a $150 million budget. This is a Netflix movie, so there's no box office.
It looks every bit of $150 million.
How? It really does. Like, they spent that money. I'm curious why. Why wouldn't you put this in theaters, Maze?
Well, Netflix is trying to turn this into their own personal Fast and Furious franchise that you can only get on Netflix.
Yeah, but this is a movie that should be on a big screen. Dare I say an IMAX?
I don't know. This is the way of the future, right? Like, it's not Netflix doesn't release any of their data, so we'll never know if this was successful or not.
Oh, it's successful.
I guess we'll know if it's successful if they have a second one, right?
We got a dozen tweets saying we should do this movie. It's successful. It's paid for itself.
Wait a second. If people are saying do this movie for us.
Well, because it qualified, right? It qualified in terms of the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Are they, by the way, speaking of, are they ever going to do a sequel to that Will Smith?
Bright?
Orcs and
Aladdin?
Yeah. Bright. Yeah.
Oh, Bright. Yeah. They are doing a sequel to that.
Yeah. Because that one was like the original Netflix. Hey, we made a terrible movie and it was so terrible that everybody watched it.
And it didn't sink the movie. It didn't sink the company. So they're going to do another one and see if they can.
So Bright 2 was announced in January 2018. Nothing else has happened with it.
Okay. Maybe Will Smith got too big for it.
So it might be one of those things that they announced it, but then it flopped. So they're not going to.
You think Gemini Man held it up?
Yeah. You know, he was so busy shooting all three roles in Gemini Man.
Oh, man. Did he get 3 paychecks? Did we ever figure that out? He should have. Played 3 characters. Before we jump into the rest of this movie with spoilers and all that, 6 Underground is available on Netflix, as we mentioned. Rotten Tomatoes score 36% from critics on 84 reviews, 62% from the audience on over 2,700 ratings.
I got in a big argument with a buddy of mine because I called the audience score mouth breathers.
Wow.
And he was like, oh, so I'm a mouth breather? And I'm like, no, I'm not talking about you. I don't respect the opinion of Merlin's Fong 6969, you know, on whether a movie's good or not.
All right, let's get to the positive reviews first. Adam Graham of Detroit News. The Madman director's Netflix debut, 6 Underground, is so big, it feels like it's going to smash out of your television screen. Can't agree more. Glenn Kenny of the New York Times. There are genuinely eccentric innovations here. There's certainly not a whole lot of recognizable humanity, but hey, that's why there's It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Seems a little backhanded. Bobby Hertz of Globe and Mail, Six Underground is a riotous and gleefully delirious assault on the senses. It is vulgar, it is absurd, and it is completely enthralling.
I agree with everything other than the last sentence.
You probably could have combined the critics' review of 36% and the audience review of 62%. It's still a little low, I think, personally. David Fear of Rolling Stone, guns, Ferraris, parkour, headshots, Melanie Laurent, Las Vegas, luxury yachts, thong underwear, incoherence, xenophobia, sexism, auteurism, parentheses, vulgar.
How'd they get a copy of the screenplay?
Apostrophe America. Mark Olson of the LA Times.
There's your clip for the... Yeah, that's it
right there. Mark Olson of the LA Times. After a strong start, the movie steadily declines, one set piece after another, and there are many moments where the mind wanders and then asks, is this still going on?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, it's amazing when the critics describe perfectly all the emotions I went through watching the movie.
They do not describe how I felt about this movie. Brian Lowry of CNN.com. Six Underground proves so uneven in its tone and unrelenting in its volume that it's hard to imagine a hole deep enough in which to bury its silliness. Go fuck yourself, Brian Lowry. Go to a real news network. Simon Abrams of The Wrap. It wouldn't be a Michael Bay movie if he didn't slavishly cater to the lowest common denominator, parentheses, get ready for some sexist and gay panic jokes. So it makes sense that Bay's anti-heroes are more obnoxious when they're trying to be good. I don't remember any gay panic jokes, but I could be wrong about that. And then Carrie Darling of the Houston Chronicle, last review, Six Underground, a nonstop stunt reel with a few admittedly impressive displays of your usual visual nerve, is just Fast and Furious crossed with an old Whitesnake music video, but with fewer functioning brain cells.
Yeah, he's trying too hard.
I hope the newspaper industry folds. I hope it does.
Do you have any good reviews?
I gave the good reviews.
Oh, damn.
Completely enthralling from Bobby Hertz of Globe and Mail.
Oh, everything he said there was like he shit on it. And then said it was enthralling at the end.
Any thoughts going into this? I knew nothing about it other than that it was on Netflix and starred Ryan Reynolds. I didn't even know it was a Michael Bay movie.
No, I knew it was a Michael Bay movie because the moment I saw the trailer – which they played on TV a couple of times. I was like, what is this movie? And I was like, oh, it's a Netflix movie. But as soon as I saw it, I remember texting, I texted somebody. I might have been you, Zach. I said, it's like the most Michael Bay movie ever. I didn't even know it was Michael Bay, but I just saw like the shots and the, you know, I guess now they're drone shots. and you know, the same style. I mean, like he has one of the most recognizable filmmaking style.
Oh, yeah, you cannot guess that it's anybody but him.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else. What other directors?
The shots used. I mean, John Woo was that way for a while, yeah, right?
John Woo, definitely. Spike Lee, because he does a lot of those tricks where like...
he does the camera attached to the chest as a person moving. He loves that shot.
On a dolly shot, though. They're not walking and stuff.
Right.
If I watched the movie without knowing who directed it, I could know, it's a Michael Bay movie. Who is this dude trying to rip off Michael Bay? And that's how defined his filmmaking is.
Right.
His filmmaking
style. Justin Lin, Fast Five and Fast and Furious Six.
Oh, you know who? Wes Anderson?
Oh, yeah. Wes Anderson, definitely. Yep,
the symmetry. The symmetry and then the 90-degree rotational shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you grow a wax mustache during a movie, you know you're watching a Wes Anderson film.
That's true.
And then Roger Christian, you know, those Dutch angles and those barn door wipes.
Oh, the Dutch angles and the wipes.
Do you want lunch?
Oh, the wipes. I love that. All right, let's get into the movie. It's a little confusing with how many jumps in scenery we have.
A little? 45 minutes into the movie, I still didn't know what it was about. I had no idea what was going on.
I'll admit, there are times it's a little clunky and I'm a little confused. But I think they got it by the end.
Well, there's that great moment when Ryan Reynolds says, "You're all caught up now." And I'm like, "Are we?"
No, when he said that. So when he said that, first of all, the movie opens with like a 20-minute car chase.
Yeah,
I just kept like, "All right, I don't know what they're running from or what happened." And then about 45 minutes to an hour in, he says, "Now that we're all caught up." And I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Yeah, it was less about the mission and more about – here's the team. We didn't get like the stakes of it all, I guess.
It just, and it didn't even like, it wasn't clear when it was their origin story or whether this was happening now or after the heist or right before. I didn't know what was going on. I still don't.
Well, in these like big group heist movies, right? There, you know, there's so many classic examples of how to do it well. Like Ocean's 11 does the great job of you start with George Clooney and he builds the team up and you see everybody doing a little thing and then they join the team. And then there's like Reservoir Dogs where you start with the gang all together and then you go backwards and explain how everybody got there. And this movie kind of just did halfway both of those. Like, and it didn't ever give us a flashback for the doctor. We never got one of those, so we don't know where she came from. And also she only does doctor stuff in the first scene,
right? And the other thing about the doctor is I thought she was the bartender in that opera scene,
right?
I really did until the end of the movie. I thought, oh, that wasn't her. I don't know if that's wrong, but I really got confused by that.
It reminded me of the Rick and Morty episode, Look Who's Purging Now.
Yes, absolutely.
Where Morty is sits, listens to the guy read his script to him while Rick is setting up the machine on the light tower. And he says, I'm not a fan of, personally, of the whole 3 weeks earlier teaser thing. I feel like, you know, we should start our stories where they begin, not start them where they get interesting. And it's just like, why couldn't they just start the movie? Like, the movie would have just made a lot more sense if you just started like, hey, this is me, blah, blah, blah. And I still don't understand.
Now, here's the thing. If someone said that this was the lowest common denominator, and yet it feels like a brain teaser. Is it the highest common denominator?
No. It's the lowest common denominator because you don't, if you like explosions and shit like that, you don't need to understand any of the plot. This is a movie that you can watch without understanding the plot and just kind of like have on.
I feel like it all ties together. We'll get into it right now. We have an abandoned airport or airfield or something. I don't really understand where they are and why no one else is there. Ryan Reynolds is talking about being a ghost when you die. He's looking through pictures. We're looking through files.
All I see him do is fly around in a plane.
Well, right. And then he's in a Red Bull plane. And he says, with loneliness comes freedom to go where you please, do what you want. And he says that ghosts have one power, to haunt the living. Then that plane has engine failure, and it's going down and he's ejected. And he says it's the day he died and became a ghost, but clearly he's faked his death. And so we jump to the past.
How do you fake your death?
We jump to the past. They knew he was flying the plane.
They didn't look for a body after it crashed right below.
He crashed in water.
Oh,
so he drained that lake? I don't think so. It's not a swimming pool.
First of all, dead bodies tend to float.
Maybe he got blown up in the explosion of the
plane. Oh, yeah. It got disintegrated.
Michael Bay movie. It definitely got blown up.
All right.
We're in the past, as it lets us know, 4 months ago on a mission with his team in Florence, Italy, and they're speeding away. Melanie Laurent has been shot and is in the back of the getaway car. Okay, Ryan Reynolds is in the front passenger seat and says, that looks so bad, you're definitely going to die.
So let me ask, because that was the thing that confused me. I thought it was the dude died or didn't die, but everyone thinks he's dead. And as a result, he is now able to carry out missions and shit. Like, basically stop doing his day job and do this vigilante shit. Except for the fact that it starts with 4 months earlier, which is clearly before he quote-unquote died. And now they're on a heist with these people and no one has names.
It's possible that there's a plot hole here.
His fake death should have come first. I'm sure that's what it was supposed to be. I don't think they'd be that stupid, but it is very confusing the way they jump around.
Brain teaser, guys. It's a brain teaser. You know, it's got you thinking, doesn't it? No, not a lot of movies get you thinking.
It's got me thinking, what the fuck?
This is where I wrote the note. I love the Ryan Reynolds persona in movies. I just dig it. I liked it when he was on Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. I like it in Deadpool. I like it in all these movies. Like, I'm just in on the dickish Ryan Reynolds persona in movies. I know it could, like, people can think it's bro-y and whatever. Like, I just like it.
But this was not a good example of it.
That's a funny way he delivers. That looks so bad, you're definitely going to die.
It sounds like someone who likes Ryan Reynolds movies.
This coming from the man who tried to pump up Fred Claus. Vince Vaughn. You thought Vince Vaughn had his fastball. Throwing batting practice out there.
Man, you're whatever.
And I liked Fred Claus. I liked it. But Vince Vaughn was worse in that movie than Ryan Reynolds is in this movie.
You're absolutely out of your mind.
It's relative to their peak. Ryan Reynolds doesn't have as high of a ceiling as Vince Vaughn, but he's more consistent.
Agreed. Well, I don't know about more consistent. I don't know.
He's figured it out, Zach. He's been this Ryan Reynolds persona for like a decade now, and it's really working for him.
Yeah, it didn't work so hot in Green Lantern, but everything else is pretty good.
Yes, we're going to forget the Green Lantern ever happened. Just like he has.
They're trying to get away while trying to also, the doctor or some lady, we don't know if she's a doctor yet, is trying to get a bullet out of Melanie Laurent. And we have an unnecessary car crash and explosion. And I decided to start tracking these. That's one car crash.
Yeah, that was my first base explosion moment. 4.5 minutes in.
Boom! Michael Bay explosion!
Now we jump to 17 minutes earlier. And Ryan Reynolds is talking to a mafia boss type, I think, from what I gathered from the dialogue.
He's a lawyer. No, he's a lawyer.
Oh, for the mafia?
Oh, it's the lawyer for the generals. For the
generals, yeah.
The dictator,
oh,
dude.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Now it's all tied together. Back to the present chase. There's a helicopter from the Polizia, a slow motion car crash from a truck, and the tail. That's two car crashes. We're up to two. Now we're introduced to Dave Franco as Six the driver. And he hits a pedestrian.
He's just doing his best Baby Driver impression.
He is, yeah. And he even calls him Baby at one point. I wonder if that was a shot at Baby Driver, which I did not like that movie, by the way.
What?
Yeah, I thought
it was corny. Oh, get out of here.
I thought it was corny.
Baby Driver was excellent.
Nah.
It was excellent.
Jamie Foxx is excellent in it. I thought most of that movie was terrible.
Spacey was pretty good in it, too.
He's good. He's good in it, too. I thought the rest, though, it was just a shtick that I lost interest in after the second time he did it in that movie. All right, we're slow motion drifting in a roundabout. He almost hits two French bulldogs. People are flipping him off. Pigeons are flying in slow motion. We get introduced to Ryan Reynolds, who's one, the billionaire. Melanie Laurent is introduced as two, the CIA spook, as she shoots at a motorcycle bad guy, and we get the motorcycle crashing. That's now three crashes.
So when he's doing the slow motion roundabout, there's a woman holding a baby that he nearly hits, but did you see that the woman holding the baby gets hit in the face by one of the pigeons that's flying up.
Oh, no, I missed that. Oh, man, these levels to this. It's all tying together. It's great. It's really...
By the way, this is about the time I wrote the note. Michael Bay would have made a great 1990s music video director.
He did make a great 1990s music video director. I know.
Like the big budget late 90s videos with explosions and people being chased through the streets. And
sure.
Yeah, like that's the... And particularly cinematography with the sweeping shots. And basically what I was thinking, like, things where there's no real story, but it looks cool. Well, that was like the signature style of late 1990s, early 2000s music videos before the medium died pretty much.
Are music videos making a comeback?
No.
Oh,
I mean, okay. Yes and no. Like, people are making them and they're very creative, but they're still very small budget.
Okay.
It's not like the days of blowing like $2 or $3 million on a video, or those are never coming back.
All right. Now we are introduced to Five, the doctor played by Adrienne Arjona.
Yeah, I love her, by the way, I should mention. She's had a pretty good year. She's in Good Omens. She was in Triple Frontier. And then this movie.
I've never heard of either of those things. Also, I called her Hot Angie Harmon.
Okay. Right. Blood squirts onto her face. Then we get a call for Four, the Skywalker, who's played by Ben Hardy. He's Assassin's Creed-ing his way around Italy.
Why was that his hideout spot?
I don't know. He's going down a domed building for some reason. There's another car crash, so we're up to four. He drops some metal poles from the sky.
He's just going
to
gloss over that. Like, ladies and gentlemen, think of like the dome of the Basilica.
Right.
And instead of like just being like on a regular ledge, he's at the top of it. So when they're like, hey, you got to meet us at the rendezvous point, he has to run down the outside of a dome. Again, I'm sure it looked cool until you stop and think like, why the fuck would that be his spot?
It's a great question. I don't know. I guess he was their eyes in the air or something. Like, because he was kind of helping them get around. I will say that the metal poles through the tail and the drivers and the passenger. Well, that was a cool shot.
Oh, come on, I have an idea. I just saw this right now, but come on, just come back over this way. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds is now holding a severed eye to get a device that they stole to work. He drops it on James or Dave Franco's leg, yells not to squish it. We get a whole thing with him getting the eye back. They're scanning it with the scooped out eye that we find out of the two, the CIA spook.
And by the way, that's not how Face ID works, but go ahead, Michael Bay.
And it's unlocked. Three, the hitman is introduced now. He's trying to learn Italian. Four jumps onto the truck that three is driving. This does sound a little off. They're trying to lose the chopper. So now we get a fifth car crash. This one's in slow motion. Franco turns on the Spice Girls because he needs some music. Ryan Reynolds rips the stereo out of the car, throws it out the window.
I laughed at that. I thought that was good.
That's a good moment. Melanie Laurent lights up a bunch of killers in a car with a machine gun. They lose the chopper by driving through the Galleria dell'Accademia. We get more car crashes. We're up to seven now. We're up to six now. I wrote, is it even prudent to keep counting them at this point? The Skywalker blows up a car with a grenade launcher.
It's slow motion, hits the dude in the face, breaks his nose. Yeah, that was an unnecessary flourish.
That's a cool shot.
Well, just a lot of slow motion, like, impact stuff in this opening scene.
It made me think of the line from The Other Guys with Bobby Cannavale where...
Let's talk about how that story made you feel.
Like a Viagra pill with a face.
That's what this movie made me feel like. A Viagra pill with a face. Now they crash and it looks like Dave Franco is knocked out or shit. I guess he's dead. That was my note there. They escape and he's left there, except he's not left there. He's brought and now he's dead on a boat.
Wait, you didn't know how he died?
No, I knew like the thing hit him in the neck or what. I couldn't tell if he was knocked out, like if it hit him in the head or if he was knocked out.
It impaled him. What are you talking about?
It impaled him. I thought it just hit him in the neck.
No, the forklift thing impaled him through his fucking throat. That's why the blood spurted everywhere.
I mean, blood's all over that place.
Yeah, he's got a little boo-boo on his forehead, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, you look knocked out to me.
I think
you see some more.
And you like this movie? You don't even know what the fuck
I was texting a little bit. They're on a boat. They toss him to sea. Now we're in Afghanistan with Corey Hawkins from, what's he been in? He's been in Straight Outta Compton. Yeah, he plays Dr. Dre.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, we're in Afghanistan with him, and then we're in Savannah, Georgia with him almost immediately after as he's laughing at an infomercial. Now we're back to Afghanistan. He's having flashbacks of an attack there. He had a chance to save his unit. They didn't tell him to fire. His unit's blown up. He survives. He's writing letters to the family of fallen soldiers, and now Ryan Reynolds is in his home trying to recruit them.
But then there's also something where he's, like, touching caskets and stuff at, like, an army base.
Yeah, it's...
he's at the army base... With his
a lot of jumps.
Dead unit, and then he flashes back to how the unit died. And then he's in Georgia where he's home. But Zach, you left out Ryan Reynolds' first attempt at referencing Leave It to Beaver on the boat.
Oh, that's right. It didn't have a payoff later, I gotta be honest.
It didn't have a payoff, but they kept trying.
They really tried. They really, really tried. He's recruited him at this point. He has to fake his death. He jumps off a boat. People think he's dead. We're at his funeral. Ron Funches.
This was my favorite. Ron Funches with the heat check of the
Ron
movie.
Ron Funches is so hilarious.
And he damn sure loved his country. Like Captain America. And none of us know how we would react if we were put in the same position he was. The fear, the noise.
But if I was blamed...
I would have shot the motherfuckers. I would have blown their fucking heads off. That's just me. I would have been the last man standing. I don't have any military background, but I'm like a mother duck. You get in the way of my ducklings?
Man, just sit down. Just sit down.
You don't like Ron Funches?
I don't like Ron Funches, and I didn't like that scene. I was just like, okay.
They're way too close to his own funeral.
Yeah.
Anyone walking up late to that thing and maybe they didn't park in the right spot could easily have spotted him.
Hey, man,
that's the first real plot hole. Yeah, cause, I mean, he's very recognizable. He's not, like, wearing a hat or anything, I don't think.
No,
like,
he's just chilling.
Out there. Yeah.
He's just chilling, watching this thing go on.
A good, like, 50 yards away from his own funeral. Anyone could have been looking around. We go inside the secret lair of this covert ops group. They're going over a hit list. We find out Ryan Reynolds invented micro magnets, and that's where his money comes from. He's telling them how to stage a coup with the dictator of Turkestan. We get another flashback to 4 years ago. Man, this movie's all over the place. Reynolds was in Turkestan to help out at some camps for some social media promotion. The camp gets attacked by fighter jets and bombed with gas. He saves a kid with a gas mask as many are dying. It's very dramatic. We find out the dictator set everything up. He's now talking to, now we jump to an opera.
First, he's hanging out in the Louvre Abu Dhabi, which is a real building. And I thought that building was friggin' incredible.
Yeah, it looked pretty dope.
Super spiral ceiling. And then we learn that he leaked his own propaganda footage to inspire fear. And then it's the opera, but it's also Richard III, a Shakespeare play.
I'm so lost. I don't even remember any of this.
Sorry? On the play, it's that old cliche, does art actually imitate life? Because you got this tyrant who's walking the stage.
Basha.
And in the first act, his cruelty goes completely unpunished. But in the fifth, justice. Always justice.
You see a tyrant. I see a man bringing order to a disordered world. Scouring its filth, polishing it till it shines. In art, our most fervent hopes come true. Heroes always win. It's bullshit. In life, totally different.
Nah, I'm with Shakespeare. Hmm? Act Five's coming.
To Shakespeare?
Hmm. To Bill.
I think you both just spoiled the end.
No. We didn't.
One of the security guards presses up on Ryan Reynolds and he says, "Are you all right? I can feel the tip." Then he starts hitting on the bartender. Not a great joke. I guess that's a panic gay joke. Does that count? I guess so. I don't know.
Again, if I were gay, I wouldn't be offended by that being a gay joke. I'd be offended by that being a like not funny joke. It's just like, come on, man.
Yeah, he's throwing 85 here, right? He's throwing 85 miles an hour.
Well, I'm not going to blame him. I'm going to blame whoever wrote the script.
Oh, Wernick and Reese.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Go back to like, yo, how could they be this bad? Because that's what I was thinking. Like, I'm like, yo, this is why if you write action movies, stick to writing action movies. But these guys have written some legitimately hilarious movies.
Yeah, it's the movies that have good jumps in time, right? Like Zombieland has a good jump in time. Deadpool has good jumps in time within the movie, right, to explain things. I feel like maybe this one was on Michael Bay.
Well, but also like just the how unfunny this movie is. I don't know, man. I'm just like.
Now he hits on the bartender and they bang.
A lot of Muse playing in this soundtrack. I think this is the third time a Muse song comes on.
And the score. The score had like 8 million songs in this.
Yeah,
I don't know who they are.
At first I wrote this is a hooking up montage, but then realized it wasn't a montage and it's just the way that Michael Bay shot it.
Yep.
And then, but he didn't shoot it in a way in which Ryan Reynolds exploded. Or did he? Amin will call me a hack for this joke.
You are a hack.
Okay, we're back to the present, I think, at this abandoned airfield. And allegedly we're all caught up, except now we're getting a backstory from Melanie. It just jumps right into it.
Yeah, so much for that being in the present thing.
Right. All right, you're caught up. Now let's learn about number two. I wrote this story is all over the place, but artfully all over the place. I believe that.
So we're just going to skip over the fact that a French woman's in the CIA. Let's just pass on that.
That can't be true?
Pretty sure you can't have international people in your own agency.
Why not? They got spies all over.
There's no official language of the United States, Maze. So just because she speaks French and has a heavy French accent doesn't mean she's any less of an American than you are.
Yeah, I didn't think there was xenophobia in the movie, but except maybe there is on this podcast.
But she doesn't know who Leave It to Beaver is. She can't be an American.
Except for the fact when she says, she refers to herself as French. Oh, the French don't do this. Or something. I'm like, what?
Maybe she's just letting you know. She's just educating them. I don't think that's bad. All right, she's on a mission in West Uzbekistan. Trying to capture someone who's heavily protected. Is that the brother?
Yeah, Murat.
Now we're getting up.
No. You have to explain how she captures him.
So her whole team lights up, like completely guns down this convoy of SUVs, except for him. She says, "Save him for me." He goes running out of the car and she knocks him out with a slap?
Yes. Punch? She slaps him, but what was she doing right before he ran up to her?
Well, she was just standing there, right?
She was leaning against a
Audi or so, a Rolls Royce
Phantom,
right?
Which, of course, it's the CIA. Look, hey man, you got to go deep undercover.
She's pretty.
You got to go deep undercover. Get her a fucking Phantom. Like, come on, man.
Would you have stopped? Like, if that's a Lexus, do you think they stopped the convoy? No. Well, Phantom, look out. Maybe it was a Chrysler. They just put the Rolls Royce thing on, maybe, right? It's like Chrysler 300.
Chrysler 100, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now we're getting the monologue backstory of how Ryan Reynolds used his money to go after people because he says, fuck the government or something. I don't know. I think Jade would like that line. That little monologue. Now we're in Vegas. God. Now we jump to Vegas. We've got crew members with two and three are in – the hitman and the CIA spook are in tennis disguises. They're tracking an arms dealer and the generals of the dictator. They get into the hotel suite. They gun down the generals except for one last general who gives them information they need. Then they kill him. Ryan Reynolds looks at the disguises of two and three. And says, I said undercover, not coked up Borg and McEnroe. That's a good line. They look like coked up Borg and McEnroe. No? You didn't like that?
No.
All right.
There's a slow motion bullet shot through the length of a cigar, then a headshot.
What an accuracy. That guy's good. Headshot when a guy's popping a zit. I didn't need that.
They decide to fuck?
Yes.
At the scene of the crime?
Yes.
There's dead bodies everywhere?
They did.
And once again, as Zach noted, you think it's a montage until you realize, no, that's just how Michael Bay shot this.
That's what Michael Bay thinks sex looks like. I don't know. Maybe it does.
And then she, like, only periodically pausing for her to say no kissing.
She really didn't want to kiss.
And then they go back to kissing.
Yeah, he keeps kissing her, and she doesn't like it. Or maybe that's
No. And lest I sound very Me Too here. She says no kissing. He says, okay. He leans in, kisses her. She kisses back, very, like, super into it. And then, like, maybe 30 seconds later, hey, no kissing.
Maybe that's the role playing, Amin.
All right.
You don't know their sex life.
Okay. I don't, because apparently they just started having sex, right?
I don't know. Maybe they make it look like it every time is the first time.
Okay.
Maybe it's the adrenaline of killing some people and having the dead bodies lying around.
This movie's making me angrier the more we talk about it.
All right. Now the hitman, number three, goes to a convalescent home to visit his mom and explain the situation to her with how he's trying to help the world.
Now, is that a flashback or not?
No.
No, that's next.
Because she lived outside of Vegas for some reason.
Right. Okay.
Even though he's Mexican.
Yeah, she doesn't. I thought close to Mexico.
That is Colombian.
The actor's Mexican, so I'm assuming the character's Mexican.
No, because he's talking about where's so-and-so, the brother, and he's always back in Bogota.
Oh, good. So his Colombian grandmother.
Am I the only one? Am I the only one who paid attention to this fucking movie? Maybe that's why I hate it so much.
I was texting because a lot.
You guys were just like fucking doing anything but watching the movie.
Look, I took copious notes. They're just, you know, they're not all completely locked in.
Hey, I'm the only one that noticed the pregnant lady getting hit by a bird. So
that's true.
True. Yeah. Yeah, fuck off, I mean. The mom doesn't have all her marbles, and so when she finds out it's him and not his brother, she says she won't speak to him because of murderer, to which he replies, it was only five people, Ma. That's not a funny show?
Mm-hmm. You thought that was funny.
I thought it was humorous.
I hated this dude. I thought three sucked.
I thought he reminded me of Russ Brenneman from Silicon Valley.
I guess. I don't know. This guy's shtick wasn't doing it for me.
No, I'm with you. He was one of the guys that didn't hit in this movie. Now we get his backstory where he kills a man in front of the guy's kid accidentally. Ryan Reynolds doesn't like that he went to visit his mom.
I appreciated that because that was just fucking stupid of this guy to go run his mouth at this nursing home.
Right, and they've got rules, right? Like, you give up your life.
I appreciated Ryan Reynolds laying down the law here.
Yeah.
But does he just follow everybody at all times?
Yeah, you know, magnets.
Yeah, magnets, man. We're back in Turkestan. I wrote, Jesus, there's so much scene changing. I can't keep up. Tighten it up, Michael Bay.
But it's all Abu Dhabi, so it's okay.
Right, exactly. Some military officials get dropped off the roof of a building by the dictator's security.
Yo, by the way, the logic behind it was, I thought was a... I thought to myself, you know what? It's ridiculous and crazy, but also kind of makes sense.
No, I'm with it. I'm with it too.
This is what he does. He says, my four generals just got assassinated in Las Vegas, whatever. So he says, colonels or whatever the next level is, step up. Like, you guys are next in command, da da da. And then he has them thrown off the top of the building. And then he turns back and tells the rest of the guys standing there, he said, I would be an idiot to promote, like, the people who stood the most to gain by the death of these guys. So the next level of people, come on now. You guys are so basically, he skipped a generation of military personnel, who, by the way, had nothing to do with the death of his generals, and promoted these dudes two ranks up to general, which made me think, okay, so if I'm like a private in the army, all I got to do is assassinate the generals, right? Because he's just going to keep like...
Yeah, he's just going to bump up two levels, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that easy to just assassinate generals, though.
Apparently it is, if he threw off four dudes off of...
I guess.
Oh, he just dropped off.
Well, it's just you and me. I think Amin's off his fucking rocker on this one. This movie bangs. This movie flashbangs.
Now I have to leave this in.
Leave it in. Fuck him. He's not going to listen to this. All right, you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
You okay. Just tossed Amin off the roof.
Yeah, we did. All right, we're back at the abandoned airfield. Hawkins wants to know how they all met Ryan Reynolds. We jump to the Ukraine because, of course, we've got to jump to a new thing. When Skywalker number 4 meets Ryan Reynolds, 4 and a crew are stealing diamond necklaces. They're parkouring all over Kiev.
Hardcore parkour!
Okay, we all go together or we go one at a time.
Here it is. Truck to refrigerators to dumpster, 360 spin onto the palace, backflip gainer into the trash can.
Yeah, gainer! Yeah, yeah.
Hardcore parkour!
Hardcore parkour!
I'm right behind you, Andy! Come on!
Do it!
Yeah!
Parkour.
Which I wrote, it feels like Michael Bay just heard about parkour 8 years late and is fitting it into a new movie.
It does. It's like,
and I wrote, I'm expecting someone to plank next.
Haha.
Oh, that one you liked.
Yeah, that is all right. Funny.
All right, he falls through a bunch of canopies trying to escape. He wakes up tied to an old operating table. Ryan Reynolds is there talking to him about fear. He pretends like he's going to kill him with this like saw-like death contraption, kicks it over. The guy gets scared. He laughs at his scary reaction, to which I wrote, this is very Deadpool. This is the first thing that like felt like Deadpool in this movie to me.
That felt like Deadpool to you?
Yeah.
It just felt, it felt lame, man. It felt lame. It was just like, oh, I'm going to kill you. Ha ha. Just joking. You should have seen the look on your face. It happens. It's so such a trope that like I couldn't laugh. I could not laugh. It was like, this is what every stupid ass movie does. Like,
well, I didn't say I laughed at it. I said it just felt like Deadpool to me.
No, you can't say it felt like Deadpool if you didn't laugh. Like when Deadpool does stuff, it's funny. This was not.
All right, we're back to the airfield. We find out he won't go back for anyone left behind. He tells Hawkins that everybody talks about doing something. It's nice to actually do it. That's why they're helping out in Turkestan. Now we jump to Hong Kong.
Oh, my God.
Dictator is visiting his imprisoned brother in a high-rise penthouse. We find out the brother tried to steal some shit from the dictator. The dictator thinks the brother may have had the generals executed. There's a big security dude that has a shirt.
The Keek! This is my guy. Dakeek has a hilarious t-shirt. The man and the legend pointing to is Dakeek.
Yeah, you've all seen that shirt before. Yeah. The dictator hates it, by the way. Now we're in the Mongolian desert, only to show that they're back in Hong Kong. We have a helicopter ride or a plane ride. We have a plane ride to the Mongolian in the Mongolian desert just because they're going back to Hong Kong. Why wouldn't you just put them in Hong Kong?
I don't know.
Because they didn't actually go to Hong Kong because it's all Abu Dhabi.
All right.
The apartment is pretty tight, though. I like the layout of the apartment, the penthouse.
It's very John Wick 3, that final battle scene in like the glass stairs and everything. They trick the hitman into admitting that he's fucking Melanie.
They say snatch like 47 times.
Yeah. The point was snatch and grab doesn't make any sense because it's the same word.
Snatch.
I'm uncomfortable when Amin says it.
I'm doing her part where she just kept saying snatch, and I don't know why she's saying it.
Did you like the moment with Raymond, the random guy?
Was that the dude from, was that William Hung?
No.
It wasn't? Okay.
That's racist. No, that wasn't William Hung at all. He's wearing it's Britney bitch shirt. I don't know. I thought it was funny where he's like, can we not talk about this with the random guy?
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
I chuckled, but also because I thought it was William Hung.
So now we're trying to grab them. If it wasn't William Hung, would you have laughed?
I probably would have laughed less heartily.
Okay. We find out they're trying to grab the brother of the dictator. They take down the lobby with of the building he's in with laughing gas. The cops have been called. They have 15 minutes to get. I wrote the note, holy shit, there's still an hour left in this movie. Four is sneaking on the roof that's got a pool in it. Two and three are coming up the elevator. Four is stuck underwater because there are guys on the roof searching around because the alarm is off, to which then Hawkins shoots a hole in the pool so that he can breathe. And I wrote, that's clever.
Yeah, I like that. I thought it might not support the weight, but you know, they get to that later.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I'm like, there's no way this thing just stays together nice and neat.
Not that big of a hole.
I thought they did a pretty decent job of covering holes like that.
Yeah.
And opening them up. The hitman fucks up his mask trying to be funny, and now he's affected by the laughing gas too.
Okay, so we need to talk about him here, because this is when he really lost me. I already didn't like him. But every single line that he says in the lobby are references.
Oochie coochie coochie.
He says, badges, we don't need no stinking badges, which is a reference to the treasure of Sierra Madre. And he says, how am I funny to you, which is Joe Pesci's line from Goodfellas. Yeah. He references Darth Vader. Then he says, I am the danger, which is a Breaking Bad reference. And Ryan Reynolds says, no more movie lines, okay? Not tonight, but like ever. And then three says, that's a TV line, not a movie line. Just, I was over it. It's like the first one was okay, and then he lost me the further he went with it.
Really? I like the escalation, because then we get a little bit of a payoff there with the Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid reference.
That wasn't a payoff.
Yeah.
Just want to point out, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, we don't know if they died at the end.
Oh, they died. We know.
They freeze frame. We don't know.
They're dead.
The guys were quick shots.
They're dead.
They could have knocked everybody.
No, they're dead.
How did we get Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid too?
Is it a prequel?
I don't know. I just made that up. Go ahead.
Okay. They implement this high res like THX sound that you hear at the start of movies. You've all been in a movie theater before where they play that sound. Yeah. They break the glass with it by putting these speakers all over, these high sonar speakers, and the glass breaks. They start unloading on the guards. I wrote the note, there are some amazing John Wick-esque kill shots in this movie. There really are. Like some of the action in this is just spectacular.
The action's good.
The action is shot very nicely. And if it was used more judiciously and propped up and supported by an actual script, like, it might actually be good. But as it is, that's why I said it's a great 1990s music video. Like, I just need shit happening on the screen that looks cool. It's 10 out of 10.
It's a 10 out of 10, I think.
Three also says, I see dead people here. Sixth Sense reference.
He sees a gold gun that he wants. I really thought we were going to get a face-off reference with the gold gun, but we didn't. He picks it up, but Hawkins is a sniper. He thinks that Three is a bad guy for picking up that gun, so he shoots him in the head, but the mask blocked the shot, apparently. I don't know what the hell that thing's made out of. There are more men than they anticipated. Three tells Two, we'll do it like that movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, which Two says they died at the end of that movie. I mean, disagrees. Hawkins shoots out the pool because they're all trapped around the staircase. He shoots out the pool and it goes crashing into the penthouse to wipe out the surrounding bad guys. I wrote, that's a great idea for an action shot. More like Michael Bay, spelled B-A-E. Did it mean drop again?
No.
Oh. Okay.
No, I'm just going to sit here and let you wallow in that.
I'm bathing in it, baby. I am absolutely bathing in it. They zip line out of there with the brother, but Four is stuck. He's limited ammo. He tells them to escape, and then he just has bad luck. He starts running across the cranes and the construction equipment. We have another parkour chase. Somehow the other guys are good at parkour.
Yeah, now it's contagious.
Yeah, to which I wrote, Four's endurance is phenomenal. Like, how much do you think he trains and works out, or is this all adrenaline? Because he's really going for a while with some pretty tough stuff.
He's Australian. That's what I chucked it up to.
He's British.
Okay, no. That's not a good day for
me. Wait, if he was Australian, you think he just has more endurance?
Yeah.
Is that?
That's science. I know that. I agree.
Yeah, all right.
Fucking running with kangaroos and shit, man.
I don't think that's something Australians do in the slightest.
Well,
they don't run with kangaroos. Kangaroos don't even run. They hop aggressively.
They run the kangaroos, like they run The people are running with the kangaroos, not the kangaroos are running.
They get away from the cops because one of the bad guys throws a grenade up onto some beams. The beams blow up.
One of the guys, that's the Keek.
Oh, I'm sorry, your guy, the man, the legend. And it starts dropping the steel beams on four, the debris takes out the cops on the ground. I wrote, this is a Michael Bay wet dream. This is 50 Shades of Transformers action. This is like, it's really, he's showing out.
Meanwhile, the six of them are somehow in a Mini Cooper.
To which Ryan Reynolds admonishes.
Well, yeah, but it's like, it's still like an extended cab or some shit. It's crazy looking.
All right. Hawkins and Reynolds are now arguing with the hitman about leaving four behind. Hawkins says he won't leave another person behind. It works. He snipes your guy. Sorry, RIP, off the building. Four is saved. Now the dictator wants answers. He's hired a British firm. There are no digital footprints on any of these people for the ghost team. Ryan Reynolds is now arguing. That's a lot of jumps. Ryan Reynolds is arguing with Hawkins about not wanting to know names, and then they all give their names.
The Cleavers.
We're back in Turkestan. They're trying to track this team as it's entered the airspace. The dictator is getting ready for a potential attack. To inspire the brother after complaining about all these movie lines, all movie, Ryan Reynolds starts quoting 8 Mile, to which Hawkins calls him out on. That's a funny moment.
Now, I mean, if they hadn't played the music in the background.
I thought that sold it. I thought it was, you gotta hit some of that on.
Yeah, they couldn't decide whether to just do the reference or like announce that they were doing the reference. So like if he had just quoted it and not explained it after, I think it would have been better. I agree with Amin.
No, I don't mind. If he had quoted it and dude called him on it, but don't play the music. Let us, that's the joke. And this coming from someone, remember, I did the Different Strokes thing. Like it's great because when people sit back and are thinking like, wait, is that fucking like, it sounds like a really deep speech, but like, no, I've heard this before. It's like in Money Talks where Chris Tucker says, I want to do a toast to the newlyweds, so-and-so, you were his first, you were his last, it was everything. And the mother-in-law is like, is that Barry White? Right? Like, that's funny. Like, they didn't need to start playing the song underneath. So, like, oh, it's the Barry White song. Like, again, I guess that's what the lowest common denominator part comes in, because they could have probably had that whole thing, and someone said, was that Eminem? And everyone would have been rewinding to look for Eminem in the scene to walk. I didn't see Eminem show up. Are they talking about candy? I don't know. Oh, stupid ass fucking movie, man.
Reynolds and Hawkins now are wearing really nice suits. They go to the main power plant there. Reynolds is describing himself as an Irishman. I couldn't tell if he was trying to be Irish or Scottish in that one.
Yeah, he's found with a belt tied around his neck in an unfortunate masturbating accident. Ferocious masturbating accident. It's very sad.
One, shut the fuck up!
What? Come on, we've all choked ourselves having a little choke, haven't we?
Thought it was Scottish. This whole scene is completely absurd. Did you see how the old man was typing?
Yes.
Yeah. Just flopping his fingers on the keyboard.
Just flopping them, man. He's like, sausage fingers. Like it's
like Kramer in the episode where he gets a job on the Murphy Brown show.
Yeah.
Like nobody types like that.
What's the Bruce Almighty? When Jim Carrey's replying to all that shit.
Answering the prayers, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. They hack their way into the power plant system. They're going to do a power surge to block a bunch of stuff. There's an inspiring change the world speech. Then they surge the power plants to put the brother on television over the dictator's televised speech. He calls for a revolution. We give it a revolution montage. They're blowing up statues. They take the symbols of power down. They push the dictator to the yacht while sneaking the brother into the compound. I wrote, this revolution really organized quickly. I don't think that's how these work. I mean, it's like within the hour.
Instant, yeah.
Yeah.
Instant. Everyone's in the streets. Let's do it.
Everyone. Now, we've got fighter jets escorting the dictator to the yacht. They start running down people because he says these aren't my people anymore. The hitman is the only one chasing him. He gets knocked off his pursuit in a car crash. We find out the ghost team has plastic and ceramic guns, to which I wrote, I wonder if magnets will come back into effect. Probably not, because that'd be a callback from 90 minutes ago. Turns out I was wrong. They storm the yacht. They cut the comms. The dictator is trapped in a safe room. The brother stops the military from attacking schools and hospitals. Right before Ryan Reynolds is going to do the magnet trick, the chip falls out of the phone. He's struggling to put it back in. Two and three have to improvise with a fight against some guards after two says she'd love to meet three's mother, to which now Oh, man. The magnet scene, Amin. This is unbelievable action. It's a great idea that I don't know makes any sense, but it's a great idea. It's phenomenally shot and edited. Like the magnet scene where everyone is flying all over this yacht. I wrote two words. Action Bukkake. That's what this is.
That's what you were. That's what you came up with.
Yes.
Action Bukkake.
And they keep hitting the magnets back and forth. They just like they keep going to it and it works every time. I wrote in all caps, this was worth the whole fucking movie. All of the jump cuts, all the scenery changes, all worth it because of this magnets trick. This is where the movie 100% won me over. Spoiler alert.
It's a pretty wild sequence. I definitely thought it was funny. I mean,
it's great action. I mean, how do you not love the action?
Couldn't figure out what was happening at first, but then once you figure out how he's doing it, or theoretically how he's doing it, it works pretty well.
Right. It's incredible. I mean, are you not in on this?
I'm not in on any of it, no. It doesn't make sense.
Man.
I'm pretty good at suspending disbelief, but like, none of this movie made sense.
He's a magnet billionaire, and he drove his little yellow submarine drones around the boat.
I'm mad that you guys are so accepting of this, but how Santa Claus has a factory where people are making toys blew y'all minds. Like, how? What about Amazon?
Logically, it didn't make sense. Rod Reynolds admits that he wasn't sure it was going to work and says this is also fucking dangerous. Just a little levity to the scene.
I mean, he feels like a Jedi.
Yeah, I didn't like that line either.
We get to them going on the yacht. They're in the yacht now. They're by the kitchen. There are all these guards in there. We get another shot of the magnet working in the kitchen. There are knives flying everywhere. I write Michael fucking Bay. Like, I'm in on all these magnet shots.
Yeah, there's a colander smashing into a dude's nuts in slow motion. What's not to love?
Exactly. And then all those knives went into that one dude. There was something that went into some guy's face. It's just incredible. But now his phone is cracked. The magnet isn't working. They're getting surrounded. Corey Hawkins puts a flashbang in a dude's mouth. And I wrote, now that's a money shot. Action Bukkake. I mean, I don't know how you didn't like this. Is it because you're sick?
No, it's because it's not a good movie.
Reynolds is fighting the main security guy. The guard accidentally activates the bombs on the ship's hull. Now the ship is going to start sinking. Four is in trouble. They're trying to coordinate him and the dictator at the same time. The dictator escapes to a lifeboat. Four's arm gets broken in a fight. He's really getting fucked up. Ryan Reynolds comes and saves Four as the ship is sinking. The helicopter is following the lifeboat of the dictator. He's pulled aboard the helicopter. Turns out it's the brother, the hitman, Hawkins, Reynolds, Melanie, they're all there, to which I did not understand how they became the crew on that helicopter.
Surprise!
That's maybe the second plot hole I've found in this movie.
They're ghosts.
That's true. You know what? Plot hole filled in.
They are ghosts.
They're flying the dictator all over the country, showing him everything with the revolution. They slow-mo drop him onto the ground. The angry mob obliterates him in those camps that he once gassed. Oh, man. Poetry.
Just waiting for him. Just know exactly what's going on, yeah, and they're poetry. Ready to rip him apart.
Yeah, man. Look, they had a whole broadcast out there. I bet they gave a plan. I'm sure they did. I did write in my next note. This doesn't hurt. This doesn't help my argument. I wrote, I flat out do not understand the point of this movie. But then I wrote, I don't think I care.
I do.
All right, now we're going to wrap this up. Hitman and Two are in love. Hitman gets to see his mom. She's happy. I wrote, she must think it's the brother. Then she meets Two, who's got flowers. Reynolds stalking the girl from the bar. That's where I figured out that wasn't Five. She has a kid. Maybe this looks like him. Is he an absent father?
Oh,
what's
her name?
Yeah, the hot bartender.
Hot Angie Harmon.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, that's the doctor.
No, that's different. No, that's the doctor. This is the bartender that from the opera that he has the hookup.
This is the same mistake that Zach made at the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But we cleared it up and then you made it again.
Okay. Is this the one that he slept with and then she's biting her lip every time he says anything?
Yes.
She's like, I'm going to New York. It's like, I already live there. She bites her lip. And it's like, I don't want to see that. And bites her lip some more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, also, like, here's an easier way to clean it up. The only woman he fucks in this movie, it's her.
Okay.
That's the one he possibly had a kid with.
And gotcha.
He's like, he looks like he's trying to do the math of when they had sex and when this kid would be, how old he would be.
Gotcha.
I couldn't tell if he was just finding out that this was his kid or if he always knew. That was very confusing to me.
Oh, no, I think he was just finding out. Oh, I guess I don't know if he was stalking her.
Seems like he always knew because of the move he made when he faked his death.
Oh, good point. Okay, that clears it up. Now we're filling everything in. The brother is now running Turkestan. Four is free climbing rocks with five. That's hot, Angie Harmon. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Hawkins throws his gun into like a river. I didn't really understand
How many guns do you have?
He takes a bullet out of the chamber and then throws the gun.
Fuck this shit.
Made me think that maybe he had like a moment where he murdered somebody with it. He was trying to get rid of the evidence. I didn't understand what was going on. Now Ryan Reynolds is possibly stalking his own child. The abandoned airfield has some filing done. I wrote, they definitely want a sequel. We roll credits with a slow-mo walk.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
That's exhausting.
A slow-mo walk towards a private jet.
Michael Bay's private jet.
That he paid for with rubes like Zach.
What? We all had the same access to this movie, I mean. Oh, by the way, the ghost jet is director Michael Bay's private jet.
Is it?
Yeah.
That wasn't just a joke?
No, that's his jet.
Oh, my God.
Well, Michael Bay, just like our good friend Jade Hoy, graduated from Wesleyan University.
Yep.
Ooh, okay.
Once I saw that this was intended to launch an action franchise, that explained just about everything that I needed to know about this movie. We see a bottle of Ryan Reynolds Aviation Gin at the Opera House.
Yeah.
Michelangelo's David, where they make the dick jokes, isn't actually in that museum, but another one nearby. The yacht we see, Kismet, is associated with NFL Jacksonville Jaguars owner and billionaire Shad Khan.
Shad Khan.
Oh, that's his yacht?
It says associated. I'm assuming it's his.
Man, that's a nice yacht. Can you have a not nice yacht? Or is there such thing as a mediocre yacht?
Yeah, like if you got a yacht that was like furnished in like the 70s or something like that. Like think of it. Like, oh, because it's a boat. It's got a living room and like a bedroom in there. That makes it cool.
Yes, that's 100% the point of a yacht.
No.
Isn't it?
No, man.
All right.
Paul Allen's yacht had a fucking submarine and a helipad on it. That's a cool yacht.
Doesn't someone have a yacht that has a smaller yacht in it? Is that Steve Ballmer's yacht?
No, that was that Ballmer or was that Prokhorov?
Oh, maybe that was Prokhorov. You're right. Man, we gotta get a yacht, guys.
Yeah, let's all chip in.
Like the Scientologists.
Yeah, exactly. Man,
Zach,
I'm trying to convert us.
Actually considered, I was like, yo, if you get all these acting opportunities, these movie opportunities, like, why wouldn't you be a Scientologist? Then I found out it's because you got to pay dues. And I'm like, oh, I don't.
Well, you got to pay dues to be in SAG. Like, I mean,
that's true.
Yeah.
I'm trying to join SAG, by the way.
Are you? Don't you?
Yeah.
Can you do that for being on ESPN?
For being on TV, yep.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you should do that.
I should do that. Yeah. Just so that I can, like, I'm a card carrying member.
You do have to pay dues, though.
I know, but I heard it's like a percentage of what you make, and so like I'm good then. You guys would just be practicing with me.
All right, let's go to we'll go to a Tony Medley review.
Did he watch this?
No,
this motherfucker doesn't have Netflix.
Yeah, we gotta hook him up.
Get him a password to log in or something.
Yeah.
As Amin would say, it's not cinema.
It's not cinema. His review, since there's so much heavily involved in this movie with the writers and the main actor, Deadpool.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not for children.
No.
The song Angel of the Morning opens this movie accompanying the credits. That was the last thing I liked. It is an apparently tongue-in-cheek look at superhero movies, starting out with credits describing the filmmakers with names like The Other Funny Guy or something like that. I didn't write them down. Then it's narrated in the first person by Wade Wilson, becomes Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds. What follows is an extremely violent story filled with vulgar language and references that have become monotonously the same in superhero picture after superhero picture. Gory, violent fights between characters who are invulnerable and can only be killed when the script calls for them to die. Otherwise, bullets go through them, knives pass completely through their chest to come out the other side, but they just pull them out. Someday, it'll have to be explained how it is possible for such creatures to die, but die they do, however, only on cue. Whether creator Stan Lee knows it or not, this is strikingly reminiscent of Stephen J. Canville's anti-superhero private eye, James Rockford, as played by James Garner. Deadpool has the same devil-may-care attitude as Rockford and defies every superhero rule except the one that says he can't be killed. If you like superhero movies, like I like private eye movies, you'll be entertained and get all the in-jokes. I love the idea that he only likes private eye movies. Like, that's his time. Like, that's his idea of a good time.
He wears a trench coat to the movies.
The film is egregiously violent and has some torture scenes that are gratuitously offensive and bothersome. I sat next to a 20-something critic for an online publication. She loved it. She laughed at the credits and throughout the film because the narration is meant to be funny. She had warned me before the film started that if I didn't like Marvel superhero movies, I was in for a long night. When it was over, I told her she was right. This is definitely a generational film, and I'm not in that generation. As far as I'm concerned, all these Marvel X-Men superhero-type films are intellectual diarrhea filled with boring sameness. How many times can one sit through the same thing?
Well, first of all, fuck you, Marty Scorsese.
What do you think he gave this one, Amin?
3 out of 10?
0.
Whoa.
0 out of 10.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Come on, Tone.
Not even Angel of the Morning could save that one.
Wow. Wow. Yeah,
Tony Medley, not a fan. All right, guys. Amin, phobe or file?
Oh, I think you guys know where I'm going with this. This is a very, very, very hard and fast phobe. This movie was awful. I didn't understand a single thing. I didn't understand why anyone was doing what they were doing. Why did these people join the team?
To save the world.
No, 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 no. Like, they never... No, why? You see what I'm saying? Like,
well, if 4 didn't want to be fearful. Let's see. Which one's 5? We don't get 5's backstory for some reason. It's the only one we didn't get.
Yeah, we don't learn anything about 5, and she's completely useless except for taking that bullet out in the opening scene.
Yeah, do we learn how 2 joined? Because I don't think we learned how 2 joined either. We just get a little bit of backstory.
2 was after the brother, so I feel like she was already embroiled in the whole dictator situation.
Okay. 3 joined because of the kid.
Really?
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That drove him to shame.
I guess, yeah.
I don't, like, I didn't, none of it makes sense.
Skywalker, he had leverage on. I mean, the answer is that Ryan Reynolds, magnate billionaire, had a personal vendetta against this dictator and assembled these guys to take this dude out.
But he made these people fake their own deaths.
I mean, you know how mad you are when you're trying to, like, record an IG story. And someone talks or something, or someone makes a noise and it fucks it up and you got to redo it. You know what that's like.
I'm just saying, like, if
you got to fake your own death to be a ghost so you can have the freedom to do the things that need to be done.
But if I'm Hawkins, like, you want a hired gun, you want a sniper.
They should have all been Hawkins types.
No, they should have all had, like, some shit where it's like Hawkins should have been. He should have accidentally shot somebody and they try to get him arrested for murder. And it's like, I didn't really do it that. So, like, you got to be, like, in order for me to fake my death, I have to be running from something. Something big. It can't be just like, man, I can't believe they didn't let me save my guys. Well, I'm going to fake my death. Bye, mom. Bye, brother. Bye, everybody. Like, what? How does that make sense? Because he wants to shoot people? Like, they just go shoot people. Why would you have to fake your death for that? And by the way.
He wants to shoot the right people.
Well, by the way, why he throw his gun in the river if he's going to just join up with the team and get on a plane and do it? And this is going to be a series.
They're going to drag him back in.
He murdered someone with that, like a breaking and entering or something, or a scorned lover.
Yeah.
Someone,
this movie's a cult.
I'll go next because it's going to be even, because this is a hard file for me. I mean, it is action on action.
You'd watch this again?
100%. Like, again, don't get me wrong. It's a little clunky. Right? They could have cut a good 25 to 30 minutes out of this movie. They could have cleaned it up. It's a lot of jumping around. But the magnet scene, that was like, that pushed it over the top for me. I was kind of in and out, in and out, in and out. And then once the magnet scene hit, boom, I'm in. I'm all in. This is a file, baby. Maze?
After looking at who made this movie, I didn't think it could possibly be that bad. It's 37% seems pretty low for this.
And you were right.
It's long. I hated number three. The excessive movie references were kind of killing me there for a little bit.
Such bitch.
But I'm in. Violet.
No!
Wow.
Yeah!
Well, you guys, I hate you. I hate both of y'all.
Action Bukkake, I mean. In your face.